So we have had technical difficulties, and our internet connection is down. So Siskiyou County offers teleconference participation in the meeting via Zoom as a courtesy to the public who have the option and right to attend in person. Today, no member of the Board of Supervisors is attending the meeting via teleconference, and a technical error has occurred. And so the board may continue to conduct their business and discontinue Zoom access. And that's at the board's discretion if they would like to continue with the meeting.
We'll continue. We're going to continue on with the presentation. And then you're going to be working on that while we're
doing it,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So, with that, Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Kopseff, members of the board. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you here today. I'm going to be talking about the North Coast.
We just need your name for the record.
Oh, Karen Gaffney, and thank staff you to the North Coast Resource Partnership. Next slide, please. So I'm just going to provide a brief overview of the North Coast Resource Partnership and also acknowledge and thank your long-term leadership of the partnership, as well as your technical advising and your vision that has made the partnership so successful over the last 20 years. I'll give a brief overview of projects that have been funded in Siskiyou County and talk a little bit about what's next. And then we will be requesting your support for a signature to the Memorandum of Mutual Understandings, which is a non-binding agreement. Next slide, please. So the partnership, as many of you know, and we have supervisors Ogren and Chris here, and we'll talk a little bit more about their role and also past leadership roles, was initiated in 2005. It's a coalition of tribes and counties that cover approximately Region 1 of the Regional Water Quality Control Board. So there's both hydrologic and jurisdictional boundaries, so it's all or part of seven North Coast counties, so the parts of Siskiyou that drain to the coast, as well as Modoc, and then the watersheds therein. And the mission of the partnership is to enhance communities and watersheds and bring funding to the region. A set of principles in the Memorandum of Mutual Understanding holds the partnership together in terms of a commitment to recognizing common ground and also recognizing local autonomy. And regional contract administration is provided by the County of Humboldt. And to date, the region has brought in over $130 million for planning, implementation, and capacity building. And the majority of that work has been focused on projects on the ground and in communities. Next, please. So the Leadership Council is comprised of appointees from up to two supervisors from each county and three representatives, which are elected by North Coast tribes. And as I mentioned, we have Supervisor Ogren, who's on the executive committee, as well as Supervisor Chris serving on the Leadership Council now. In the past, we've had Bill Hoy, as well as Marcia Armstrong and Grace Bennett, who is here today, and I just got to see her in the hall. It was lovely. There's also an executive committee on which Supervisor Ogren serves, and that's county and tribal appointees. And then a technical peer review committee, which really advises the Leadership Council and makes sure that we get the best high-quality projects and works closely with staff. And Rick Dean is here representing Siskiyou on that technical committee, and it's a really important role, and we appreciate it. In the past, we've had Rick Costales as well as Marilyn Seward, who was the first member of that committee from Siskiyou. And then there are ad hoc committees that provide guidance and input on staff work, including a regional forest and fire capacity committee on which Supervisor Ogren serves, and then an illegal cannabis committee, which Supervisor Chris initiated and has provided incredible leadership for. Next slide. We want to really appreciate the service of Supervisor Chris on the Leadership Council representing Siskiyou County. This is a little bit of blurry, I apologize, photo of a resolution of appreciation that was provided to Supervisor Chris from the Leadership Council, along with two members of the Board of Supervisors from Mendocino County. And Supervisor Chris, I don't know if you want to share that at some point, but everyone really appreciated your service, and we are going to miss you greatly. Next slide, please. So the North Coast Resource Partnership is really about implementing projects that have multiple benefits. And so in a region like ours that has a lot of need and a lot of different focus areas, that work ranges from things like wildfire resilience to water quality and supply infrastructure to built infrastructure and capacity, working in natural lands improvement, and local economic vitality. Next. So projects that have been funded to date over the last 20 years in Siskiyou County are listed here. And if you want more information about these, we have a project tracker site where you can really dig into them and see exactly what was funded, what the work did, who was sponsoring it, and what they accomplished. But to date, there have been 43 projects for a total of $21 million in funding, and that has been leveraged significantly with additional outside funding. And that leverage is probably a significant understatement of the amount of leverage that's been brought in. Next, please. So the project tracker shows some of the key projects that you might be interested in, Shasta Valley RCD, City of Weed, some fire system rehabilitation, Happy Camp water treatment system upgrade, the Indian Creek sewer pipeline crossing, some fuel reduction work with Siskiyou County and the Yurok tribe, and then the McKinney Coast Fire reforestation and recovery and implementation work. And these are just a few of the many projects, but I thought you might recognize some of them. Next slide, please. And these are just some photos of the work that was accomplished with funding that was gathered by the North Coast Resource Partnership in partnership with these communities in the North Coast. Next. So upcoming initiatives and opportunities that the North Coast will be working on with our Leadership Council include the North Coast Illegal Cannabis Action Plan. So an effort to band together as an entire region with the seven counties and the tribes to take aggressive action on remediating some of these illegal cannabis sites, and also to provide capacity funding for tribes and counties to deal with this very significant threat. We also are working in partnership with a variety of folks on a regional biomass strategy, looking at the capacity in the region and trying to bring funding in to fill capacity gaps in counties and agencies and tribes. We're also working with Cal Fire on a forest health pilot, and are expecting funding, a significant amount of funding, for regional water and wastewater technical assistance and implementation. And then there's also been ongoing collaboration with NASA and USGS to get high quality data for the region that supports a variety of work related to forest health and infrastructure. And then there's funding for climate resilience, as well as ongoing legislative and funding advocacy for the counties and the tribes in the North Coast region. Next slide, please. So we're asking you today to consider adopting an updated memorandum of mutual understandings. It is non-binding, it's in your packet, and it just outlines principles for working together across the region, recognizing local autonomy and that one size does not fit all, and that every county is unique and has its own priorities, with a focus on common ground and bringing resources to the region. Today, all partners and contractors have signed on, and Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors originally signed on to the previous MOMU in 2005. And so we're requesting today that you consider the updated MOU. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to ask if there's public comment on this, since we haven't done public comment yet. Anyone online on this?
Sure, none online.
Anyone in house? Yeah. On this item? Supervisor Christian,
for a photo op for you.
You want to do the photo up after this, or we can finish up with this one?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Go ahead. Between you two on the MOU. But
I just wanted to say we did a great job. Supervisor Overing got it over the finish line. We did great. The juniper tree treatments, something that we all agree upon, is knock those juniper trees out, more water in the system, and thank you for your work on that. We were able to get some projects across the line on the juniper trees. That was good news.
Yeah, well, I'll quickly just say that this last round of funding, I think, for Siskiyou County was pretty unprecedented. We have three projects that were approved through the Technical Peer Review Committee, and that was huge. I don't think we've ever had three Siskiyou County projects approved at the same time, and that was how many millions of dollars are we funding? A lot. Yeah. So we're pleased with that.
Do you want a motion on this?
I'll also move.
Okay.
And I will second.
Okay.
And that is for the MOMU, correct?
Yeah.
To approve?
9A.
All right. Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopp?
Aye.
So now you have a photo op with Supervisor Chris.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm in a boot, so I'm a little slow and a little worried about falling over.
Right here, we fly that thing.
Wherever you
would like me. I'd like to get out of the way.
Oh, okay, okay. Thank you for coming out here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having your leadership.
There's one, two, there's three. I'll shift over this way.
Okay.
One, two, three. And I'll see one more. One, two, three. There you go.
Okay.
I'll make sure to get those to you.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are we connected again?
I think so. Yeah. We're good to go.
Yes.
All right. So we're back online. At this time, we're going to go to item six, which is presentations from the public. Let's go online first, Hannah.
At this moment, we have no...
So watch for it. I know someone's calling in. There's at least one. Anyone in-house? No. Public comment? Not on 8B. We're going to get there. But anything else in public comment? Anyone in-house? Seeing none? Uh-oh. Looks like we lost it again.
My apologies, we lost
internet. Oh my gosh. So, we'll continue on. All right, we're going to continue on. We'll come back to public comment online. There was no public comment in-house.
Look for a 9168, ending 9168. Email.
Okay, so with that, we're going to move on to item 7, consent agenda. Is there anything to pull? None there. Anything at the board level? So I'm going to pull F and G. I don't know if someone's here. Yes? Okay. There's Sarah. Sorry. Looking for a motion on the balance of the consent agenda.
I'll move for the balance.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second.
That's okay. I knew it was coming. Oh, great.
So it was Chris and Valence Rayla. All righty. For the balance, Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela? Aye. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So there are two different grants. I'll take them both at the same time since they're coming from, looks like, the same place. And what will they facilitate, essentially? Why the breakup of two and where are they going?
So Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services, and I am going to turn it over to Madeline Ryan, our housing coordinator, who's our expert.
Good morning.
Good morning. So the reason for the breakup just has to do with the structure of the grant program.
There are two different ones then?
Yeah. So the HAP program provides a non-competitive allocation to all counties and all COCs. And we are in COC is continuum of care, entities that are designated by the federal government to organize housing and homeless resources. So our continuum of care is 7 counties. So even though our COC gets this allocation, they divide it between the 7 counties. So for this program, we have a county portion, that's our county allocation, and then we receive a portion of the COC allocation.
So are the amounts here your allocation to Siskiyou, correct?
Yeah, so one of them is our allocation to Siskiyou County, and the other one is our portion of the allocation to our entire continuum of care. Yeah.
Okay, I got you. And what services will we provide for it?
So for the COC portion, This grant has a category that's it's very flexible. It's called system support, and it's unusual for a housing grant to have this type of category. But it allows you to use it for either system improvement or sustaining systems that help to address housing and homelessness issues. So the federal government and the continuum of care in the state, they have a lot of requirements that create an administrative burden for the county. And fortunately, this system support category can allow us to supplement the revenue that we have to follow through and comply with the requirements that we have from the state and federal government and the COC.
So it'll mainly go to admin is what I'm hearing? Both of them or just one?
The COC portion.
And then the other one?
So for the county portion, this grant came along shortly after the county passed their resolution establishing an encampment removal policy. And in that policy, there were certain responsibilities outlined for Health and Human Services, such as street outreach, coordinating storage of individuals experiencing homelessness whose encampments are removed, and coordinating service connection and linkage for them. So when this grant came along, it was the perfect timing, really, because we didn't have a revenue or grant that covered that expenditure for those duties outlined in the resolution. So our intention with this grant is to fund those services as outlined in that resolution. So street outreach, case management to connect individuals whose encampments are removed to services.
And is there a correlation between the City of Waireka liaisons, the two positions that we have provided?
No,
there?
No, there's no connection.
So this is
to
on
it.
Top of that then, is that correct? Because I think those two positions are supposed to be doing what you described in street
we
outreach.
Collaborate with them, but we're not providing any funding to them for this. But in those, you know, around those issues, we collaborate with them. Our staff collaborates with that team to.
But the liaisons are funded by the commission.
Yeah, so that grant, of course, this grant has a longer time frame than that contract, so I expect that those services would end first. And this is not only street outreach. We could use it to connect people to temporary housing while they are, you know, dealing with the encampment removal and finding a new location. We also put prevention services in here. That's less connected to the resolution, but if somebody is at risk of experiencing homelessness, it's usually prevents them from creating much greater challenges in their life, and is usually a much less expensive fix to do preventative services to stop someone from entering homelessness than to address their homelessness once they're in that situation.
What percentage for prevention, roughly?
I actually have the amount here. So for prevention and shelter diversion, we have about 81,000.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board?
Move to approve.
We'll do F first, is that fine? Which one has the prevention in it?
The one that has the prevention in it
F
is,
or G?
Sorry, let's take a quick look at this. G.
Okay, thank you. All right, so this is a motion to approve on F. Yeah. Yeah.
Supervisor Valenzuela, second.
Yeah.
Supervisor Okren.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Haupt.
Yes.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsa.
No, it's administrative, and it's not. I get that part, but I think that what I'm getting is an overview is we're compounding and duplicating funding where it's not getting to grassroots, and so I'm concerned about that. So that's why I'm a no.
Supervisor Haupt, were you a yes or a no?
Yes.
Thank you.
And then on item G,
move to approve.
Second.
All righty, Supervisor Haupt.
Yes.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Oberyn.
Aye.
And Supervisor Cogstad.
I'm going to be a yes on this because you do have preventative funding in there, and it's a good chunk, so I'm going to go up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
I noticed when the 20 amount is calculated based on a contract of 2022, when can we expect a new one?
In January, we will have a point, yes.
So the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development requires that we do a full count, both, so they have us count people who are homeless as in a shelter, or homeless as in on the streets, and they have us do that full count every odd year in January. During even years, they only require us to do a count of people who are in shelters.
Yes. Okay. We will bring those numbers to you when we have them.
Thank you. All right, it looks like we're at item 8B, Community Development and Public Works. Oh, I'm sorry, wait, I want to go online because I know we had somebody come online that couldn't get through for public comment.
Caller ending in 9168, it is your turn to speak.
Hi everyone, thanks so much. This is Laurel Harkness. I've been a resident of Siskiyou County for more than 20 years. I was appointed by Secretary Vilsack to serve on the Forest Service Northwest Forest Plan Federal Advisory Committee, and I have deep experience in public lands policy and process and rural economic development. And I want to speak to the proposed Chitla National Monument, which actually falls within the Northwest Forest Plan area. The process to create a national monument is being framed as a fight with winners and losers, opponents and proponents, which is unhelpful considering that we all agree that this area holds significant natural and cultural value and is worthy of a national monument designation. Now is the time for Siskiyou County to sit down and work collaboratively with the tribe with a pen and a map and draw the boundaries of a national monument that works for all and communicate this to Representative LaMalfa and Senator Padilla. This needs to be done as soon as possible. The way I see it, there are two primary objectives that there's consensus on. One is mineral withdrawal, which is a technical Forest Service term, ensuring that there's no future mining or geothermal development. Number two is supporting tribal co-stewardship and co-management of the public lands. Beyond that, national monuments are a very flexible tool that can be shaped so as not to have any impact on existing uses, including grazing, timber harvest, and public access. There are two paths to create a national monument. One's legislation through Congress or the Antiquities Act. The political reality is that Congressman Westerman, who co-chairs the House Natural Resources Committee, is a gatekeeper, and it's reasonable to expect that he will not allow a bill to be heard in committee. And it's also reasonable to expect that President Trump will have many priorities when he's in office, and creating a national monument in Siskiyou County is not going to be one of them. Both Democrat and Republican presidents have created national monuments under the authority of the Antiquities Act, including President Bush and Trump. National monuments are not bad. The Antiquities Act is not bad. How the Antiquities Act at times is utilized is the part that can draw criticism. However, the Antiquities Act can absolutely be used in a good way, and Siskiyou County has the opportunity to demonstrate that. The Antiquities Act authorizes the president to proclaim national monuments on federal lands, and the president is to, quote, reserve the smallest area compatible with the proper care and management of the object to be protected, that's the end quote from the act. It's worth noting that national monument boundaries do not need to be contiguous. So again, I urge you to get out the map with the tribe, draw the smallest area that works for all, and if Siskiyou County doesn't do this, then there's a pretty good chance that the national monument as proposed at over 200,000 acres will be designated in the next 40 days. Siskiyou County has the power to determine the outcome here. So don't let the perfect get in the way of the good. I'm here to support the board or the staff in any way that's needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else online?
Showing no others online.
Okay. Then with that, we'll go to item 8B, Community Development Public Works, Shasta Roadway Abandonment Project. Good morning.
Good morning. Haley Lang, Planning Director, and then...
Tom Daney, Road Commissioner.
So we have somewhat of a peculiar item to discuss with you all today. So planning, the planning department received an application from the Monte Shasta Mutual Water Company to abandon a small portion of Shasta Way in the Monte Shasta subdivision. And the intent for the road abandonment is to install a solar array for their electrification purposes for their water system. And so we, as a county, do not have a local process identified for road abandonment, so we fall to the Streets and Highway Code for the state. And so this project was taken to Planning Commission, and the role of the Planning Commission is to identify whether or not the proposed road abandonment conforms with the general plan, and in addition to make recommendation to the Board of Supervisors on the road abandonment. There are two findings identified in the Streets and Highway Code that speak to, does the road abandonment pose issues for current or prospective use, and does the road abandonment, is it useful for pedestrians? And so if you look on your staff report packet at page 3, you can see two maps that we have created to kind of show the portion that is proposed to be abandoned. And so the discussion that occurred at Planning Commission, they directed staff pretty much to go back, take a look at the issue to determine whether or not the road abandonment, should the road abandonment be proposed, it would have created an undevelopable lot. And so Planning Commission wanted there to be a finalized property negotiation completed. So what happens is either adjacent property owner where the proposed abandonment is taking place, that portion of the land, since the road department owns it, would need to be sold at market rate. And so that was direction from Planning Commission, and so we scheduled that meeting with Public Works, County Council, County Administration. And during that time, we received notice from the Schwartz property owner. They had reached out to Planning, voicing their opposition, mainly because they want to potentially build an additional access, where that road abandonment would be taking place. And so, with that information, we convened. Public Works brought up their concerns related to that, since there is not total community support anymore. We felt that it was best, and County Council instructed us to bring it forward to you all today to discuss, because with road abandonments, we're actually not required to initiate proceedings. The board can decide whether or not we need to initiate the proceeding for that. And so that's just some context for it, but I'll hand it over to Director Deeney to add any more comment.
Good morning, board. I've been working on this project for a couple of years now with Supervisor Valenzuela, and overall I am in support of the project. Unfortunately, I'm going to ask you to not move forward with abandonment proceedings, because we're talking about putting these solar panels right in the opponent's, right in front of their house. I understand that there is support for this project overall, but I can't move forward knowing that the person who opposes this project would be the most affected by it. And that's all I have to say, unless you guys have some questions.
Before we come to questions from the board, I'm going to go to public comment, and then we'll bring you back up.
Okay? Thank you.
First off, is there anyone online for 8B?
Showing none online.
None online? Okay, so we'll start with Gaylord Griggs.
Can you put up the timer? Yeah.
Yeah. 3 minutes. Good morning.
Morning.
And who did these?
Do you have paperwork?
To
yes.
The board? These are hard copies of the map packet I have. And I had the visuals of the series of maps.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
Morning. My name is Gaylord Briggs. I live at 108 Shasta Way. My property is adjacent to the subject we're discussing and immediately to the south. Because we have a short period of time here, I want to do a visual to kind of bring the board to the real part that we're discussing so they have a better idea than there are other members of our community who would have follow-up input. So you've seen some of this before. Do we have a laser pointer or anything?
We can follow along with what you
have. Okay, if you can follow along, I would appreciate it because there's some detail. I start out at a high level, of course, so you can see the Monte Shasta subdivision, and there's a little red dot that you can see. That is the proposed location of the abandonment on the dead end of Shasta Way there. And immediately to the west is the Rockfellow subdivision, and then if you can make it out, there's a kind of a brushy strip that runs north-south parallel to Alpine, and that's the Monroe Drive that had been proposed in the past but never developed. So I'm going to, a picture being a thousand words, I'm going to get through this quickly because there's not much time. The next picture zooms in on a little bit closer to it. The things to note would be the neighbors to the west and 313 Alpine and 108 Shasta Way and the solar locations. Page 3 zeroes in closer, focusing a little more on 313 Alpine. The next page has some graphic with the same kind of view. I want you to note that this substantial amount of brush and shrubbery on 313 that to provide screening. 5 does the same thing because one of the objections was access and view. I met with the owners and showed them their property lines, looked at the location of the panels, and discussed that there was opportunity to have their access on either end of the array without impeding them. 6 is for the proposed raise. 7 is a view looking down the piece of road beyond the pavement where the array would be. The array would be on the right-hand side. It's approximately the same height as the brush.
Time.
Monte in the background. And the 8 is a view looking at 313 Shasta Way. The panel would be in the foreground, again, about the same height as the brush. I ask you if you can see the residence there, the home. It's in the center of the picture by the oak tree. You can see about the very peak of the roof. And item 9 is the solution is to vacate the west undeveloped end portion of Shasta Way, deed it to the Monte Shasta Water Company, and if not possible, then to me. Vacate undeveloped strip of Old Monroe Drive location, and then deed each adjoining owner, there are 9 in total, fronting Alpine, so then the Old Monroe strip would be vacated also. Okay. Questions?
We'll be taking comment. Thank you. Eugene Juta? Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Eugene Duda, and I live at 222 Lotus Lane in Mount Shasta, and I'm a member of the Monte Shasta Mutual Water Company. Just a short road history. When the Monte Shasta subdivision was developed, the west end of Shasta Way was designed to tie into the future road that was to be named Monroe Drive. This road was to provide another access from the Monte Shasta subdivision. When the Rockefeller Tract was developed, the west 30 feet of Monroe Drive was abandoned, and Monroe Drive relocated a few hundred feet to the west. The east portion of Monroe Drive is between the western boundaries of the Monte Shasta subdivision and eastern boundaries of the Rockefeller subdivision. This road was never abandoned and remains a brush-covered 30-foot-wide strip. To the immediate west of the end of Shasta Way, there is a house which would preclude any extension of Shasta Way for which there is no easement dedicated land for such an extension. The only current use of the end of Shasta Way is to access an informal trail that connects the end of Shasta Way with Shasta Acres Road along the Pacific Power easement. Incidentally, this trail is on private property, which constitutes a trespass for which the owner of the property has never granted permission to use. Furthermore, earlier this year, the county passed a resolution to cease maintenance of this portion of Shasta Acres Road. The portion of Shasta Way we are asking to abandon has no practical use. It will never provide emergency egress because it does not connect to any other road. The current roads in the subdivision are more than adequate to support evacuation during an emergency. And the neighborhood already has an emergency egress maintained by members of the neighborhood on the north end of Alpine. That egress ultimately feeds to Rockefeller and it creates a way down the hill that does not bottleneck into McLeod Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Mark Wolin?
Good morning. So my name is Mark Wolin, and my arguments for the abandonment, there are 10 points I'd like to make. First of all, we investigated all the alternatives for placement of the solar project, including private property, and there were no other suitable sites. Secondly, we have overwhelming support for this project with a petition of 53 members of our community, including 30 letters of support. Three, the solar project will allow us to have independence from the increasingly unreliable electrical grid so we can have water if the grid goes down. Number four, the solar panels will allow us to operate during public safety power shutoffs by PP&L, as well as provide us with protection, resilience, during the threat of fire, wildfire. Number five, public safety alone is enough reason to approve this project. Number six, furthermore, the Briggs property immediately to the south of the proposed project site is the location of our wells. When the Briggs built their home, there was only one suitable site for a septic system. When that system eventually fails, which they do, there's no other site for a leach field on his property. We will need a new site far enough away from our wells to prevent contamination of the water supply. The road abandonment would provide that site. Alternatively, every parcel in the subdivision would have to drill their own well. And given the nature of the underlying strata, water may not be found on every parcel. Number seven, relying on the county's approval of our encroachment permit, we hired a contractor to perform engineering and apply for a building permit. As well, we pre-purchased all the solar panels. Our potential losses at this point are already, we calculated, $56,400. Also, number nine, we've incurred 3 years of interest payments on loans without the benefit of reduced electrical bills, which have been offset by the solar panels. In short, if the project is denied, we'll not be able to recoup our losses. The withholding of the building permit and expiration of the encroachment permit is a direct cause of these losses. Finally, we, as the board of directors of the water company, have a fiduciary duty to provide pure, clean, and reliable water supply at the lowest cost possible to our members. We feel that this project is the best way to fulfill our duty to the community, and needless to say, we support this project because it benefits everybody, including the Schwartzes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rod, is it MERS? MERS? Sorry. Good morning.
Good morning. Rod Mears, I live at 529 Shasta Way, and I'm a member of the Monte Shasta Mutual Water Company Board. I installed residential solar at my house in 2016. It's a ground mount system, just like the one being proposed today by the water company. Our electric bill's been drastically reduced, and the system has nearly paid for itself. I've spoken to most of my neighbors about the system over the years. Not once has any of them complained about having to look at the system or implied that it has lowered their property value. This could be because it really isn't that unsightly to look at. It doesn't impact the value of their property. Similar to the system being proposed, unless you're driving by it on the street, it isn't that visible and certainly doesn't block anybody's view. We're aware of the neighboring property owner's recent protest against this project. The project has been in process since 2019 and discussed at every members' meeting since. Whether they knew about this project when purchasing the property in 2021, we really don't know. We do know that they were immediately made aware of the verbal agreement with the previous property owner to provide an easement for placement of the panels. They refused to carry on with that agreement, as is entirely their right, and led us to pursue other options, including road abandonment, which is why we're here today, as all private property options within the required distance have been eliminated. The owner recently requested information on the proposed placement of the solar array, which we provided. As they were told at the time, the placement of the array need not conflict with them accessing their property. In spite of this, and without any previous indication of objection, the owner recently filed a protest against the project. The second driveway being proposed as a fire exit would actually feed onto the same egress as their existing driveway, which makes the objection seem somewhat suspect. Further objections have been raised about the property blocking the view from the project blocking the view from the property. Due to the topography, the view in that direction is of the house on the neighboring property. The solar panels would be mostly out of line of sight in that direction, as was hopefully evident in the photo shown earlier. We've also seen objections that this project will reduce the value of neighboring properties. Well, a recent Loyola University study published in October looked at the impact on property values near 70 large-scale solar farms built between 2009 and 2022. The study also cites a 2018 analysis of 956 solar farms conducted by the University of Texas. These are large-scale projects, several times larger than what we are proposing. Overall, both studies found that there was negligible effect on neighboring property values, contrary to what has been suggested and some people might believe. We submit that, if anything, this project will actually increase the value of all properties in the subdivision by drastically reducing the largest expense of providing water to our members. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Bradley. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, I'm Mike Bradley, 360 Alpine Drive, and president of the Monte Shasta Mutual Water Company. Chair Kopseff and board members, thank you for taking the time to hear us today. We appear before you today to ask that you allow staff to continue to work on the proposal to vacate an unused, unimproved section of Shasta Way in the Monte Shasta subdivision. The purpose of this abandonment is to allow the Monte Shasta Mutual Water Company the ability to install solar panels to provide auxiliary electrical power for our water wells, to increase our resilience in the system given more frequent public safety power shutoffs, and to supply water to the members and the fire hydrants during a wildfire. Our company has been in existence since 1980, Over the past 40 years, the company has reliably delivered pure, affordable water to its members and has consistently been improving the system during that period. In 2019, the board discussed ways to provide supplemental power for our wells and pressure pumps, provide additional resiliency for potential electrical outages, and to reduce our operating costs. This process has been long and expensive proposition for our company. It has been difficult to be granted an encroachment permit by the county in 2021, hire a contractor and pay for the equipment, and then have the county deny a building permit. The members of the company have expressed overwhelming support for this project. We would like you to consider the substantial benefit to and overwhelming support of over 50 residents in our neighborhood. We think the best outcome would be abandonment of the road and have it deeded to our water company. We are willing to accept conditions of approval that would remove any reasonable concerns or impacts to the adjacent property owners. We believe that the benefit of this project is far greater than no project at all. Our proposal puts the property to beneficial use, increases the property value of the subdivision, creates added energy independence and therefore fire resilience on our wildland urban interface neighborhood, and costs the taxpayers and county nothing. We realize that you have received a lot of information today. If you can't approve the vacating of the road today, perhaps the issue could be sent back to the planning department to develop a plan that accommodates the solar, maintains the access to the trespassing foot trail, and maintains access to the second driveway on the adjacent property. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Richard Montoya. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Richard Montoya. I live at 305 Alpine, next to the opposing party. And I'd just like to say that this, contrary to what Mr. Deeney said, that the solar array will not affect them in any way. You can't see it from their property. And everybody here that came in support, raise your hands. Well,
speak into the microphone, yeah. Please.
And it benefits everybody. This project benefits everybody, all of the local people living there, all the way up to the county. And that's it. We ask for your support. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Bowes? Sorry, I can't get that.
No worries.
Give me the first name because I couldn't quite get that. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here. My name is Anik Bose, and my wife and I have lived in Monte Shasta for about 20 years. I've also been a volunteer controller for the water company. And in that role, I've come to really understand the critical role that the water company plays in our community, supporting water supply for 50 or 50 households. I empathize with the opponent because a lot of times when you're a new person, like when I moved here from the Bay Area, I had zero appreciation of what the Water Society does and the critical role they play in ensuring water supply. When you come from a big city, you have a municipality or utility, so you have no clue. So I empathize with the person, but that's an important point to keep in mind here. I would say I'm here to request that the Board of Supervisors support either the encroachment permit that was approved a few years ago or any other workaround that can help us get this project done for three big reasons. The first big reason, as many of you heard from other people, we need to ensure water supply to our wells when there's a power outage. The number of power outages in the past 20 years since I've lived in Mount Shasta has increased by roughly 40%. It's not a small little thing that happens for 5 minutes. Number two, wildfire season. We're all familiar with it. We live in an area where wildfire is common. To not be able to run our pumps for fire suppression when there's power outage is completely insane. And the third thing is, as Gaylord Briggs pointed out, and others also pointed out, the company has spent $56,000 on basically solar panels after receiving county approval for the original encroachment permit. So last but not least, I want to end by saying I'm hopeful that we will find a constructive way to move forward on the critical project for our community. Making the decision to not do it based on one opponent voice, ignoring 43 other voices who are in support, And using the technicality of road abandonment versus encroachment, I think is unjust and unfair. So I'm hopeful we can get to a good conclusion here. If not, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, I personally suggested the water company board is that if we cannot get to a good conclusion, there's, you know, we've incurred significant expenses as a community and as a water community, as a water board, and we'll have to resort to legal action to recoup financial damages. So, thank you.
Thank you. Joan Romer. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joan Romer. I live at 222 Lotus Lane in the Monte Shasta neighborhood. I've been there since 1998. Like the other people were saying, my understanding was that in 2021, the water company was granted an encroachment permit for the solar project. Based on this approval, they engineered the project and bought all the solar panels and the materials at considerable cost. And then months later, when the solar contractor went to get the building permit, there was some road issue and they were denied. I'm not an expert on road rules, but I'm asking you to find a way to do a road abandonment so we can go ahead with the project. And if you can't find a way, I would hope you would please compensate the water company for our losses, because it was not our error. And I, too, am aware that there's opposition, and I know that the water company is willing to mitigate any problems that the opposition has. Thank you.
Thank you. Olga?
Let my wife is willing to cede.
Do you want to come up here?
Come first. Yes,
okay,
sir.
That's fine.
My name is Martin Schwartz. I've been living at 313 Alpine Drive for 2 years. Let me first rebut a few points that have been made by the speakers. Firstly, with regard to the previous owner of the property, Mr. Jeff Buffington, we have spoken to him personally. He never approved of this. He says he has no idea of any approval he ever gave to it. I'll also say, as far as this petition is concerned, we didn't see such a petition. There are many people who live nearby who know nothing about such a petition. I'm informed by Mr. Mike Gentile, 616 Shasta Road, that many on Monroe had no idea of these of this project. Mr. Gentile, in his letter, also points out, with regard to water emergencies, that there are very close, very nearby, I can read his words directly, but I'll just summarize, the city of Mount Shasta's water supplying equipment, which will serve if there is an emergency. In short, the work of the water company is not completely necessary given the Mount Shasta water system. Let me also just initiate the main point, which my wife can address, that we need some way of getting out if our north end is blocked. It is not true that this is this is the same egress. It would be a different egress. Yes, it would be the other side of Alpine Drive, but It is a necessary situation for us to be able to build such an egress on the south side. Now, we, this road strip on Shasta Way that is up for abandonment, we have half of that. We own half of that. And
time?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Olga Luchikova-Schwartz, and I would like to, first of all, thank the Board of Supervisors, and then thank Haley Lang for working with us on this issue, because we are new to the area, and I will not reiterate what Martin said already, but honestly, well, I work in the non-profit sector. For many years, I had I worked in three non-profit corporations, and I find what I found interacting with Monte Shasta Mutual Water Company is of great concern, actually. The meetings, the board meetings, the community meetings are known only to a narrow group of people. The company doesn't have articles of incorporation. Bylaws were written in 2004, and they are a draft. They are not notarized. The information card, which should be submitted every year to the state of California, which includes financial information, hasn't been submitted for the last 20, 25 years, which makes the status of the company in need to be brought into compliance and renewed before any kind of construction or any kind of the project, I would think, can be initiated. And it's not that I never said this. I repeatedly sent the emails. At the meeting of the company, I raised these issues. I was in communication with Mike and Gaylord about it. I sent letters with concerns because this is basically right now, unless a five-page form is submitted, it's 3,300, I think, to the state of California, this company right now cannot really function, in my opinion. I may be, of course, mistaken, but I don't think that my experience in this sector makes me mistaken. So we have a situation where on one side, this construction affects us adversely and affects also the neighborhoods which are next to the construction, which is Mike Gentile, up Shasta Way, Leslie and Ron Lagro, across the Lotus Street from us, neighbors of Monroe who never heard about this construction and for whom the view of Mount Shasta will be obstructed. I think that the data of feasibility provided by the board are not exactly convincing. I think that there is no way to carry the sustainability of these panels over the years if the investors are supposed to
time.
Be paid. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Nan Olson? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Nan Olson. I live at 330 Lowe's Lane, Mount Shasta. I'm out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
So I wrote a little note, and this is what came to my mind this morning to share with you. It's a little bit of foundational history to our board and our neighborhood. And I'm married to Ken Berger, who was the Water Board Specialist President for 18 years of our neighborhood. So there's a lot of history here and knowledge of the foundation to running this board for our neighborhood. So thank you for holding this meeting with us today. It's really appreciated. Ken and I bought our home in September of 2001. We closed on 9/11. We moved permanently in October 2003. In 2005, Ken became the president of our water board with our 47 lots. This is on a voluntary basis for 18 years of dedication with no perks and no pay. His lifetime work was a water quality specialist for two counties in the Bay Area for 60 parks. So he came from a professional background of dealing with water quality, water testing, and all that was needed to run our area neighbor board. Our neighborhood water system was often told by county and state directors how effective and efficient it was compared to most water systems, larger and smaller in Siskiyou County. It had a fabulous reputation. Ken stepped down as president in 2022. For 18 years, we held our yearly neighborhood water board picnic meeting to update neighbors as to the status of the situation in our neighborhood. Any updates, issues, water testing, quality problems, anything that everybody, every neighbor needed to know as a functioning system for our neighborhood. The baton has been passed to younger and dedicated professionals. Volunteers who continue to work for our greater good as a benefit to everyone. It is with concern to hear new owners questioning the intentions of the board's focus, especially as fire continues to get all of our fears and concerns engaged. Many of us have spent thousands of dollars and time clearing our properties. Newcomers have a ways to go in understanding what is happening in the priorities in our neighborhood to support our continuing water system that is highly functional. To this goal, we bring to this board a solution years in the making. I have more to say, but that's my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Ryan, is it?
Yeah.
If I mispronounced it, I apologize.
You get an A.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, to repeat my name, Linda Ryan. I live on Lotus Lane, 320 Lotus Lane. And I want to first off say I so appreciate this democratic process that we are all able to be a part of, to have a voice, and to thank you so much for your time, everybody here in the room, for serving what I would imagine is that we're all trying to serve for the greater good. This is what your purpose is. This is what a water board purpose is for a neighborhood. I was on the board for 7 years, and we've been property owners for over 20 years and been attending meetings for that length of time. I cannot speak more emphatically of the integrity of the water board that I have witnessed over the years. The thoughtfulness, I mean, you have heard it through various speakers today, how thoughtful, how thorough the thinking is behind multiple projects. I am in support of the project that is being proposed for all the reasons already spoken. And to me, it just seems so obvious it's for the greater good. For so many different entities. So that is my voice today. Thank you.
Thank you. Kenneth Berger. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Kenneth Berger. I live at 330 Lotus Lane. My wife already spoke, Nancy. And I was the water board president for 18 years. And I want to give you a little bit of history. What happened basically is our water system wasn't completely done when I took over. We got that accomplished, and we got to a point that anytime there was a power outage, we have a backup pumping system now, a diesel-operated generator that allows us to operate one of our two pumps, the smaller pumps, so that we can provide necessary water to everybody for their daily needs. But it's insufficient to provide, it's insufficient if there's a fire or another emergency that requires a large quantity of water. So the opportunity came up. Pacific Power was offering you had to pay for it up front, and then they would reimburse you a portion of the cost to put in a solar system. And then that would be for the panels. And then they also had a program for dealing with batteries so you could store energy so that when the solar system wasn't working, you could use the battery power to keep the pumps running. So bottom line is, about 3 years ago, there was a fire headed directly at our same elevation on the mountain, heading toward Mount Shasta from Weed. I forget the name of the fire. But it got within about 6 miles of where we were. And the automatic thing for everybody to do is they wanted to go out and water their yard and put water on their roof and do all that kind of stuff. If they would have done that, we would have been completely out of water. So what I did is I personally went around and notified everybody to conserve the water, because if there was an actual, you know, spot fires in our neighborhood or whatever, the water would be required to deal with that. So this solar project that we're talking about would allow us to generate electricity to operate the pumps at all times, unless a fire emergency is highly likely that Pacific Power's power supply would not be available. But by having the solar system and the batteries, we could continue to pump. We currently have 3 fire hydrants in the subdivision, but it was clear to me back then, 3 years ago, there wasn't going to be enough water to even operate them, probably. So this is a really good thing for our subdivision and for that general area. It would not only provide fire protection, water, enough water for fire protection for our immediate neighborhood, but also the adjacent community. Now, there is another water source at the City of Water, like was mentioned. However, that water supply, where you would get the water, is in a very heavily forested area, and would probably not, in a fire situation, would probably not even be available for use. So our system would be a really meaningful thing, and it's a good thing to do for us. It's a good thing to do for the county, because it would put a piece of property that currently has no beneficial use to a really good use. And it's something I feel like the board of supervisors should support all over, because this is a really good use of property that's not being used for anything, and it would solve a problem and help everybody out. Thank you.
Pam Monaco? And if there's anyone else that wants to make comment?
Yeah, I'll make one after her.
Okay. Just when you come up, grab a blue card. You can fill that out after. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you. My name is Pam Monaco, and I live at 325 Alpine Drive. And I just want to voice my support for the project for all the same reasons that everybody has just said. I understand the Schwartz's, sort of understand why there's possibilities they might not want the project. However, some of the information they gave today seemed not at all accurate to me whatsoever. First, I'm sorry I didn't know your name. I'm not sure if you're from the road.
Mr. Dean.
Road commissioner, thank you. You mentioned it was right in front of their house, which it's not. Their driveway is on Alpine. The road abandonment would be on Shasta Way, and that's on the side. There, if you could look at your map, you could see that. It's really, they would never really even see it, but that's okay. And also, there would be potential, if they did want to make a driveway, it, first off, if they did make a driveway to that exit, it would only go to the same way they would exit out of the front of their, that they already have. Also, they could never exit out the trail road they were speaking of. That's not a road. It's a private path. You couldn't put your car through there. As far as blocking the view of the mountain, it's on the side. There's nobody there, even including anybody on Monroe, who would never ever notice those panels there. It would never block the view of this our beautiful mountain. And there is no view. If there was any view, it would be Mr. Gaylord's view, which would be right in front of his house. He has plenty of bushes and trees, and he's much in favor of it. He already has expressed that. I'm not sure where that's coming from. And also, just a shout out to our board here, who has worked so tirelessly volunteering this whole process. It's not easy, as you all know. Just thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name's Tim Lachlan. I live at 320 Lotus Lane. I've lived in the neighborhood for 16 years. I want to, good points made by a lot of people here, our water board. We're just trying to take care of ourselves. And this is a public safety issue. The points about fire, that's huge. That's the one thing that I hold above everything. We've gone through, you all have as well, I imagine, the pins and needles of fire, fire, fire. We live in a high fuel zone, tons of fuels. It's going to benefit everyone to have a water faucet that works when the power is out. So before we cut and run, we can get our houses wet and possibly save them. I am all for supporting this. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Is there any possibility of brief rebuttals?
No, it's just 3 minutes. Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Short.
That's okay.
Because then I'll have to go back through everybody else, so
understood.
We'll leave it as
understood.
It is.
Understood.
Thank you.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
If we're going to have some discussion, it might be a good time to take a break.
Okay. Let's take five. All right.
That'll work.